Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Nofsen Brower Show, bringing you the latest news and health research globally. Good to be with you guys today. This is Ted. Austin stepped away from the phone for just a moment. He'll be right back with us. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I appreciate you. We're having a beautiful day down here in Central Florida, and we're going to continue with the news. The last couple of days, we've had some really good shows that I've really enjoyed doing, and I hope you guys have enjoyed the last two broadcasts that we've done. Gotten a lot of email feedback from them, so thank you so much for all the positive support. Real quick story from Breitbart this morning. Donald Trump threatens Cuba with full embargo. Now, I have a friend of mine, Pastor David Crank, who just did a big preaching seminar type of thing for almost a week in Cuba last week. He said the island is desperately poor, that people have a hard time feeding each other now, feeding themselves. He said that the island is absolutely just financially destitute. Now, Donald Trump is threatening Cuba with a full embargo because they are saying they are continuing to assist Venezuela dictator Nicolas Maduro. Now, he made this comment on Tuesday. His quote was, "If Cuban troops and militia do not immediately cease military and other operations for the purpose of causing death and destruction to the constitution of Venezuela, a full and complete embargo, together with the highest level sanctions, will be placed on the island of Cuba," Donald Trump wrote on a Twitter. Now, opposition leader and recognized President Juan Guaido of Venezuela urged for an uprising against Maduro as the United States voiced support for their effort. Armed troops clashed with Venezuela citizens rising against Maduro. Our CIA right now is absolutely involved in running a coup in Venezuela. They're doing everything they possibly can to overthrow Maduro. Now, why is this happening? The CIA is controlled by the Sabotean Cabalists. Just the way it works. CIA, basically through organized crime, runs the United States of America with their 1,000 lily pad bases around the world. They're able to traffic drugs in and out of Afghanistan into the United States, generating approximately $1.5 trillion a year. Back in the 60s, the international crime bosses were going to take, and back in the 50s, were going to take Cuba and turn it into a giant island like Las Vegas. They were bringing their casinos in. If you watch The Godfather, it talks about this in detail. The movie The Godfather, it actually shows them in on the island back in the 60s, trying to right there when Castro was having his uprising. And it's an interesting thing. In fact, one of the Corleones actually has to escape the island because it's being overthrown by Castro while he's there. Organized crime wanted Cuba. Then they didn't get Cuba, and the communists got Cuba. Basically, Cuba went right into the toilet. They can't feed themselves. They can't do anything there. It's absolutely awful what's happened in Cuba. Now, the sad part about all of this stuff is now Trump knows that. And now, you know, Obama had opened up a negotiation with Cuba, made it much easier to travel to Cuba. Donald Trump's already cracked down on that, and now he's threatening to do more. Why? The international banking community wants Venezuela, and they want Venezuelan oil. That's the purpose of all of this. They want to take the oil from Venezuela, have the largest oil reserves in the world. This is what their goal is. This is what they're planning on doing. And sadly, it's one of these things that if we don't wake up as Americans, we're going to be in yet another overthrow of another country, as we have already done with so many other countries around the world. With over 50 or so now since World War II, we've meddled in their elections. It's ironic to me that we say that Russia meddled in our elections for the 2016 campaign, which it did not. And now we know for sure we're meddling down there in Venezuela. And the sad part about this is that the people in Cuba are going to suffer with more sanctions, more imposed fines, penalties, or whatever he's going to do. And again, Donald Trump is doing the work of the Rothschild banking cartel in trying to overthrow Venezuela and now threatening Cuba with a full embargo. Guys, all of this stuff is absolutely nuts. In fact, right now in D.C., infrastructure talks, pathway to pay for $2 trillion package without raising taxes emerges. Now, first of all, this is stupid. We can't even build a wall for $10 billion, but we're going to raise $2 trillion package without raising taxes emerges. This is just more lies and obfuscation. This is just more rhetoric from Washington, D.C. They know that we have bridges falling down, interstates with potholes all over them, and yet they're just going to go ahead and raise $2 trillion. Why don't we do this? Since Trump has issued a $1.2 trillion budget for the Pentagon for next year, why don't we just take that money, at least two-thirds, three-quarters of that money, and use it for the infrastructure and let the Pentagon people just deal with the equipment they currently have instead of building more space-based weapon systems, underground cities, and underground bunkers for the elite? Why don't we do that? And it's sadly, again, it just shows you that Donald Trump is completely and totally being controlled. I've got a friend of mine who's a pastor who works on the pastoral advisory committee for the White House, and he basically is beside himself. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to say. He just sits there and goes, "Well, it'd be better if Hillary Clinton was, you know, president right now. All we'd have is we'd basically be in martial law, and we'll all be arrested already." And I'm like, "Wait a minute. What difference would it have made at this point with our guns being seized through red flag gun laws? No wall, you know, migrants pouring across the border and nothing being done." Another key to Cuban news agency from Breitbart. These are Breitbart articles. I have them all posted on the Health Master's website. Cuban news agency. John Bolton, a warlock, a neo-Nazi of the purest strain. Now somebody's got something right, because he's a Kabbalist. Now they're calling him a warlock. That's who John Bolton is. He's another neocon war hawk is what he is. Cuba's government-run Radio Reju website published a commentary Monday referring to American security advisor John Bolton as a warlock and a neo-Nazi for his opposition to the Castro regime. The column titled "John Bolton's Sinister Godfather of Helms-Burton" appeared to be an attempt at a biographical feature in the context of the Trump administration allowing lawsuits against corporations that profit from property stolen from Americans during the Cuban Revolution. Guys, this is really interesting. Again, Trump's allowing these lawsuits from property that was stolen from Americans during the Cuban Revolution. Guys, these are the casinos. These are the hotels. This is the property that was taken that they're talking about right here. Again, another front for the international banking cartel. Austin, I'm going to give you about 5 minutes, 6 minutes, or whatever. I got to make a real quick phone call. What are you thinking? What's your next story?
Absolutely. No, and the one thing about it that a lot of people don't understand is that Venezuela is turned into such a hot spot primarily because of our economic sanctions and our brute force as far as monetarily that we have done to that country. Granted, they have been a socialist country, and there's no doubt about it. Their policies have failed in the past, and they're not exactly what I would call up to par with a healthy area even before that. But what you have to look at is majority of the aspects of Venezuela is they were fairly self-sufficient with their oil exports. You have to remember, Venezuela is the largest oil reserve country in the world. Do your research on that. You will find that out very quickly. Has it ever come to anybody else's senses that we take over the Middle East, we control all the oil wells, we take over other areas, we control all the vast resources, we take over areas of Africa, we take over all their resources, we take over areas of South America, we take over all their resources. The reason why is the military, the U.S. military and the U.S. government is used by these globalist bankers to do the bidding and to control every aspect of every natural resource in the world. That's why there's been so much fodder about North Korea for the last 10 years. Granted, I'm not siding with North Korea and saying they're a great country, because they're not. But it has been guaranteed on numerous occasions by researchers and everybody who has gone into that country that they are sitting on trillions of dollars of natural resources, including gold, diamonds, silver, platinum, etc. That has been why there's been such an issue to invade that country. But again, there's been a lot of other flack that we've been dealing with South Korea, with China, with Japan, with that whole area over there. So it seems to be that the next plan and the step is to try to take over Venezuela, which they've been doing for the last 10 years via economic sanctions. Remember, a lot of this stuff started when Chavez wanted his gold. He demanded a huge, huge, vast amount of his gold that the United States was holding. And of course, by the time the gold actually ever was even remotely starting to come back, even part of it, he died. So it's very odd to me that where did all the gold go? That's my question. It was hundreds of tons of gold that he had. I mean, it was a massive amount of gold that he had basically stored up from all the oil and everything that he had sold down there. Then, of course, the United States has put on sanction after sanction after sanction after sanction to completely cripple that country. So lest you believe that all these individuals in this puppet regime down there are the ones that have ruined that country, that's the narrative that the mainstream media likes to portray. The mainstream media never talks about the sanctions the United States has placed on Venezuela for the last decade to intentionally cripple the country and bring them to ruin and not even have their citizens eating anymore. That's the reality that's going on in Venezuela. So now it's getting worse and worse and worse. So, of course, now Cuba's involved. Now we're going to cripple that country again, which I had a friend that went down there last year on a cruise, and Cuba's disgusting. He said, I mean, they're all running around in like 1960s cars that are all parted together. There's raw sewage out on the beaches. I mean, Cuba's a disaster now. It used to be a beautiful, beautiful country. But again, this is the policy of the United States. Once it can't control the regime, once it can't control the dictator, the president in power, it sanctions them into an oblivion. They've done the same thing with Russia. They've done the same thing in the Middle East. They've done the same thing with North Korea. They've done the same thing in Venezuela now. This is the policy. So there's a high probability that there is going to be some type of ground war in Venezuela with the United States, especially now that Russia has significant amount of contractors, and China apparently also has contractors on the ground in Venezuela. And that, I think, is the only reason why the United States has not sent in a massive ground force yet. Because, I mean, it's been rumored they already have special ops down there. I mean, that's pretty much been known for the last 2 years. But again, having 100, 150 SOCOM boys down there and having 20,000 United States Army infantry is a real, real big difference, especially from a global political viewpoint and a public relations standpoint. So,
that's right.
They're doing everything they can to get that country destabilized as far as possible. So they say, listen, we have to go in. We have to do a ground invasion because it's for the humanitarian cause. It's to help the people out. It's to liberate Venezuela. Ah, there's the term they love to use. We're going to liberate the Venezuelans. That's what they want to hear. They want the American population to hear that, so then they can come in, put a central reserve bank that's controlled by the Rothschild boys, and control and dominate the entire oil supply in that country. So just some interesting stuff to see with that right now. And as Dad said earlier, it's interesting how we always see these insane numbers come out that they want to spend on all this stuff. And as we do know, the illegal immigrants coming across the border in Mexico has not slowed down at all. It's actually increased in the last couple months talked about before. Now the Department of Defense has said they have now started, they are spending a new little budget on a little project they have down there. Because remember a couple months ago how our U.S. military was going down to the border? They were going to stop those giant hordes of migrants that are coming across, those caravans. They were going to stop them. We were putting military on the border. They were going to stop all of them. We have no more people coming in the border. Yeah, well, apparently there's a new light shed on what's really going on now. The Department of Defense just announced they are spending another $7.4 million on troop mission at the United States-Mexico border. Whoa, okay. So we're spending money to send troops down there. I got it, okay. But it's not what you think it is. This will entail feeding and caring for the migrants that have crossed the border. The mission will involve sending 320 more U.S. troops to the southern border to help Customs, Border Protection, and ICE take care of the migrants who already crossed the border. Aside from helping to feed and care for the migrants, the department mission will also include busing and transportation border crossers in the U.S. Federal officials made clear the troops will not perform any law enforcement function. So essentially, we have our United States military troops now are going to be highly paid, highly trained chauffeurs. The DOD personnel will assist in driving high-capacity CBD vehicles to transport migrants, including providing heating, meal distribution, and monitoring the welfare of the individuals that are illegally in this country. I have that on there. DOD personnel will not perform any law enforcement functions whatsoever. So essentially what they're going to be doing is now, they're going to be down there to make sure that all the migrants get into the country safely, that they're fed, they're taken care of, and then they're transported to all the other country or all the other cities whenever they do their catch and release program. As I talked to you guys about last week, El Paso was forced to absorb 2,400 illegal immigrants in 1 week alone because they did not have any other cities to dump the massive amount of them in that are coming into the country. So what they're doing now is as soon as they get into the country, they're not even trying to stop them. They're not even doing anything. They immediately come in. They bring them into these refugee camps. They feed them. They give them new clothes. They make sure they have supplies. They give them a court date that they're supposed to show up to in the next couple years now because it's so backlogged that they're supposed to come in for their immigration hearing. And then they say, okay, so here's food, here's a prepaid debit card, here's some clothes, here's your court date in 3 years that you need to show back up to, and now we're going to bus you over to El Paso with another 2,400 of your buddies, and you guys just need to go ahead and make sure you stay out of trouble, don't do anything you're not supposed to do, and here's some money and more food, and enjoy your time in the United States, and we'll see you again in 3 years. That is exactly verbatim what they are doing now, and the U.S. troops are being forced. The U.S. troops are being forced to engage in this and help them, and actually be complicit in allowing border migrants to come in. You got to think about this for a second. If you're in a country that's, falling apart, let me be honest with you, you're in Venezuela, you're in Honduras, you're in Mexico, and you're in Juarez, Mexico. I mean, yeah, it's war zone, baby. Full-blown war zone half the time down there. And you hear, dude, if you make it up to the border and you cross over the river, when Border Patrol catches you, they're going to take you to housing, they're going to feed you, they're going to keep you warm for 3 days, they're going to give you new clothing, they're going to give you a prepaid card, then they're going to bus you to the city where all of our other buddies that already made it for the last 6 months in El Paso, and they're going to bus you over there, and they're going to give you papers to come back in 3 years to go to your immigration hearing, which you don't even have to go to. They don't even care. They're not even going to look for you if you don't show up. You know what my response would be? Where do I sign on the dotted line? Let's go. Grab a jug of water. Let's make it. I mean, what is the downfall? There is no downside to this at all. And it boggles my mind that they're getting them in here and they're catching and releasing them. The policy that I've never understood, and Trump said this many times that he was going to do it, but he never did it, is that when they get here, we're going to send them back. They're going to make it across the border. That's fine. You got across the border. Congratulations. Goodbye. You go back on an AC-130 transport and you go back to your country of origin. That's what was supposed to be done. But apparently now we're not doing that. We're going to spend millions of more dollars to send more troops to the border to be highly paid, highly trained chauffeurs. This boggles my mind, and we wonder why the immigration problem is literally exploding on an exponential base in the United States now. Because when you see reports like this, come on, this is on Breitbart. This is national news. So, lest you believe the rest of the world doesn't see these articles and doesn't realize what they're doing, they do. Hence why the illegal immigration rate is exploding in the United States this year, Dad.
You know, Austin, people are talking about the collapse of the empire, which that would be us. It's being orchestrated in slow motion. I mean, they're doing it right now. I mean, we've got friends who are on alternative news and radio. They're talking about a full imminent invasion from the south as far as with, mercenaries, which could be very well coming into the United States and being given EBT cards and, prepaid cards and telephones and a bus ride. I mean, they could go to their local cells and pick up their weapons. I mean, you don't know what's going on down there. You know, people are saying that we're about to have war with Venezuela. And if we have war with Venezuela, you just think we have an influx of illegals coming into the country through the southern border. Wait until we start a war in South America. Wait until the United States starts a war. It will be 10 times as many immigrants pouring across the border. The same thing that happened in Syria. That happened in Africa. When everybody starts seeing and smelling the blood in the water, they're all going to start coming to the United States even more than they are right now. And quite frankly, we cannot handle this infrastructure attack. Maybe that's why they want $2 trillion in infrastructure, Austin, because they know they have to do all of this now to support all of the Democrats they're bringing in from south of the border. And it doesn't matter if they're Democrats or not, because the diebold election machines are just, are hacking all the elections anyhow. Doesn't make any difference. All they want to do is destroy the country and bring in a new world order, new world government. This morning I was talking to a friend of mine, a radio talk show personality, and he basically told me, he goes, well, I'm not interested in any of this stuff about the international banks and what they do. I don't care about any of that stuff. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. He doesn't want to talk about it. And I'm like, okay. But you see, you can't take that out for anybody who's cognitive of what's going on and see how the international banking card, that's why that book that was written, Operation Gladio by Paul Johnson, is Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the CIA, there we go, the Mafia, and the Vatican. the three organizations working together along with the high-level Masonic Lodge people. It's all being done right now with organized crime to take over the entire planet. And they want a criminal planet. It's not prison planet, it's mafia planet. It's mafia planet. And that's what they want, organized crime, because they control everything through their drug distribution. They want to turn the United States and have another opium war with the United States and have the United States turn into a giant country of drug addicts. Oh, that's right. They've already done that. Hence, we have 100 million people in the United States that aren't working, that could be working, because we, quite frankly, they can't pass their drug test. Maybe not 100 million, probably 50 million. It's just crazy to me. Plus, on top of all that, think about this. The Border Patrol is releasing thousands of immigrants into the United States who have measles, who have mumps, who have diphtheria, yep, who have tuberculosis. I mean, I posted this on the website, on our Health Masters website. All of this stuff is happening right now as we speak. They're bringing a diseased group of people into the United States. I mean, this is where it's coming from. And now some of the health agencies are actually saying the reason we have a measles epidemic is simple, because we're bringing in a bunch of people infected with the measles and mumps. Years ago, I did a talk show with a liberal host that I really regret having done. And we got into a huge argument about this. I mean, it was like a screaming, shouting match. And I finally told him, I said, you have no idea what you're talking about. I said, you're wanting to bring people in without screening them for diseases, infectious diseases. I said, you can't do that into a country that has so many people that haven't, you know, been sick from any of these diseases in decades. You can't allow these people to come in. It's going to cause massive, massive problems. Remember, that swine flu, by the way, which has killed over 100 million pigs again globally, over 100 million pigs, close to 200 million, basically is running rampant now through Asia. Remember, it also changed and basically, how should I say, mutated back in around 1916, 17, 18, 19, and about 50 million humans died from it. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that we've got going on now with these biologicals coming across the border from Mexico, and nobody wants to talk about it. And I this guy was so inept. He's a flaming liberal. And I got on the show with him. I just to this day regret having done that show. It was absolutely horrific. By the way, the New York Times has suspended, this is funny, all future syndicated cartoons among the anti-Semitism crisis inside the newspaper. Okay, it's a Jewish-owned newspaper, and there's an anti-Semitism crisis inside the newspaper. I really don't understand any of that. Again, this was being used as a psyop to bring anti-Semitism back to the border for people who would fight anti-Semitism. The New York Times has now suspended the publication of all future syndicated cartoons. The Daily Beast Lloyd Grove spoke with Murphy in the wake of the newspaper's publication of a second controversial cartoon that drew critical condemnation from the Jewish community after a first cartoon, which the paper now admits was anti-Semitic, was retracted and then subsequently apologized for over the weekend. It says the newspaper is in full internal crisis over this matter as executives and editors have launched a full-scale internal investigation into what happened, who was responsible, what procedural and structural change need to place at the Times. They don't do any more anti-Semitic content. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. Now, we're going to stop for 1 second. Okay, this picture of Donald Trump, you know, wearing glasses and being blind and having a lead dog being Benjamin Netanyahu, though it is anti-Semitic, I will say that is true. It is. But it's also true. Oh, wow, I just said that, didn't I? It's true. It's a true cartoon. I mean, the United States is basically Netanyahu's lapdog, and they can get us to do anything. Anything, because we are trying to rebuild a third temple to bring in the Antichrist. I mean, don't ask me why. I think it's nuts. Dennis Prager, he said the synagogue shooting rationally calls for more gun ownership. I like Prager. During his radio show on Monday, Dennis Prager noted a necessity of firearms in stopping criminal violence while reflecting on the shooting in San Diego. So now Prager, who's a conservative Jewish gentleman, who I told you I like the guy, and I told you he's one of those Jews that basically is very, very conservative, he's saying that we have to have more Second Amendment rights and more guns to prevent more shootings. Finally, a voice of reason comes out and says, hey, wait a minute, guys, we don't need more gun control, we need less gun control. Another story out of the Jerusalem Post says an Israeli envoy is now calling for criminalizing anti-Semitism after New York Times cartoon. Now, I want you to hear what I just said. A New York envoy is calling for the criminalizing of anti-Semitism after the New York Times cartoon. Because the time for talking and having a conversation is over. The only way to stop anti-Semitism is to criminalize it. Israeli's ambassador to the UN, Danny Dannon, told reporters in New York on Monday, the time for talking and having a conversation is over. What Israel and the Jewish community around the world demand is action, and action now. And remember, a Jewish newspaper printed this picture of the dog and Trump, okay? But they're making it all anti-Semitism. Now he's coming over here and squalling and bawling in front of the UN and saying, hey, this is crazy. We're not going to do it. From the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh to the Shabbat Synagogue in Poway, California, anti-Semitism is no longer a fringe bigotry in the U.S., Dana said. Then as now all the right people are saying all the right things, they express their sympathies and call for an end to this violence and bigotry. Just like Steven Spielberg a few years ago said that Holocaust training and basically indoctrination needs to be taught in all high schools as a required subject. Now they're saying that this anti-Semitism and saying things against Israel or saying things – and remember, this is what I told you was going to happen yesterday. It was a psyop. You have a Jewish-controlled New York Times, Jewish-owned, puts an anti-Semitic picture in. It blows up all over the country as anti-Semitic. And rather than saying, why did the Jews on the New York Times run an anti-Semitic cartoon? Nobody asked that question. They all say, oh, by the way, we have to pass laws against the Jewish New York Times from passing – putting – articles or putting pictures of anti-Semitism in their newspaper. What happened to freedom of the press? What happened to our First Amendment? So if I say to you, Israel basically controls the United States through interlocking corporate directorships owned by the Rothschild banking cartels and through about 80 members of dual citizenship in Congress, that's anti-Semitic? It is? I don't think it is. I think it's a statement. But guys, if these people are allowed to do this, these people that are pushing this narrative like this, it's going to be illegal to say anything. We're going to lose our First Amendment rights. Because, guys, find out who you can't criticize. Austin talked about this the other day. Find out who you can't criticize, and you'll find out who rules you. Think about it for a second. You guys have to stay with me on this, because I don't like talking about this stuff all the time, but it's just always in the news. Another thing, Roger Stone. You guys know I don't care for Roger Stone. He's homosexual. He's a pervert. Puts his wife in articles for other men. I mean, the guy's a sicko. But the U.S. government is now opposing giving Roger Stone a full copy of the Mueller report that was being used to prosecute him. I don't even know how they can do this. Federal prosecutors say they oppose a request from Roger Stone to see an unredacted copy of the special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia report. Stone, a longtime confidant of President Donald Trump, appeared in court Tuesday for a brief status conference. He was charged in Mueller's investigation with lying to Congress, obstruction, and witness tampering. His attorneys want to be able to view full report as they prepare for draft for trial. But they're being told, no, he's not going to get that. Now, again, another travesty of justice, and in our country's, again, stopping this guy from having the evidence that he needs to exonerate himself. By the way, another teenager has died in her sleep weeks after being given HPV vaccine. As experts reveal, the lives of thousands of girls have been destroyed by the controversial jab. This is out of the Daily Mail. Jasmine Surratt, 19, showed neurological symptoms after having received a second HPV jab. The teen from Vienna suffered respiratory failure 3 weeks later. Pathologists said the vaccine could have caused his death. British teenager Ruby Shalom is also included in the documentary. Her family said she was paralyzed after receiving the HPV vaccine. Both stories of both girls are included in this new documentary in which doctors claim the HPV virus does not even cause cancer. Now, so, guys, this HPV thing, the big thing they're not talking about here is the girls who did not die from this or had suffered respiratory failure or basically have all kinds of health debilitating things for the rest of their lives. They don't talk about these girls who end up basically sterile forever with premature ovarian failure, which means they go into menopause right after they get the vaccine. Their ovaries dry up, and they can never be mothers, ever. It can't be fixed. The ovaries are dead. Horrible, horrible, horrible product. Again, as far as I'm concerned, it's part of the eugenics protocol in sterilizing the population. Austin, what do you think about it? What's your next story?
Oh, no question about it. And I'm going to bring this up because you made a really valid point back to that whole thing with the New York Times, because I thought about the same thing. that's pretty much clear cut now that that and a lot of other things we've seen similar to that have been false flags. Now, a lot of times, and I want to clarify this again because a lot of people get confused on this. A lot of times people hear false flags, and because of some individuals in alternative media and a lot of the rhetoric in the mainstream media, people automatically hear false flag. They think it was a fake event or it was a staged event or it didn't happen or it's a conspiracy theory. The term and the definition of false flag is a covert operation designed to deceive. That's the definition of it. The deception creates the appearance of a particular party, group, or nation being responsible or being the victims for an activity, disguising the actual source of the responsibility. This is right on Wikipedia. And it goes back, I told you guys before the other day, where pirates would run flags of other countries so boats wouldn't flee, and then they would throw flags up on other countries as far as like a pirate flag or another country's flag that looked like they were the attacker or they were the victim. So this goes back a long time ago. This seems to be what they are doing. We've seen multiple cases now in multiple states where legislation has been pushed through to completely and totally eliminate and criminalize the speech of anything about Israel. We've seen that now. Multiple cases. There's been states that have already passed this now. Any anti-Semitism is illegal criminally. And you go, how can you make speech illegal about a certain group of individuals or a certain country? They've done it. They're working to do it. My personal opinion on this, this is not something that's just happening all of a sudden. We have a concerted effort from the Israeli government, including the Mossad, to do everything they can to control the United States to do their bidding, whether it be invading another country, whether it be taking the firearms. That's the epicenter where a lot of this stuff is going on. There are reports that I told you guys repeatedly from people that I knew that it was a Mossad fire team that operated the Parkland shooting down there. That one of the teachers even came out and said that she saw one of the men in the hallway in full body armor, full face mask, full helmet, full SWAT gear before anybody got into the school. This was supposed to be the shooter, and he was carrying a firearm she had never seen. And it was speculated that it was Tabar 15, the Israeli Special Forces 5.56 bullpup rifle. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on that really establishes these guys, especially the Mossad, are involved with a whole lot of the covert operations in the entire world. Now, we go back to World War II, where we saw when Hitler, before he really lost his mind, he wanted to throw the bankers out of Germany. He did this, and he did it very aggressively. The fact was, though, when he did this, all the Jews got blamed for all the bankers, and it all kind of went together. And then you saw what happened with the whole thing with the Star of David and them kicking them out and a lot of the other stuff in World War II, the start of it. So what we're seeing now is that people are starting to wake up to the submission of the United States to Israel. People are starting to realize the bankers essentially control the planet and control the money and everything in it. People are starting to talk about the truth. So when the truth is being heard, the people are being essentially, their spotlight is being put on them. The bankers, the individuals that are going around and controlling all this. And as Dad said so succinctly, we've said it so many times, find out who you can't criticize and you will find out who controls you. Find out who you can't talk bad about. Find out who it's illegal and criminalized to talk bad about. Find out what laws are violating your First Amendment right and not allowing you to talk about the truth or talk about them, and you will find out who controls you. Guys, it's 1 + 1 = 2. It's not difficult math to put together to find out what's going on here. The whole thing with New York, and I think Dad nailed a spot on the head, that it was a false flag designed to put that out there as an anti-Semitic cartoon to demonize anybody that brings up anything about Israel. That's why it was Netanyahu in that picture. That's why it was Trump in that picture. Because everybody started to realize Trump is being a submissive little lapdog to Netanyahu. It was a fictitious joke, but it was done very, very succinctly. It was not accidentally depicted in that way. just something I wanted to add in there because Dad really nailed it on the head. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting with McDonald's now, as they're kind of coming out now and, you know, being honest about what's going on. MarketWatch reports that McDonald's is looking to hire some 250,000 new employees this summer. It said that students were the prime target for summer hiring last year, but in today's job market, the millennials are not cutting it. McDonald's spokesperson said the company's excited about exploring new opportunities in an underutilized market. They are now trying to recruit seniors because they will actually show up for work. They said they're looking for individuals 50 and up. The fast food giant is looking to fulfill an assortment of positions ranging from early morning shift roles all the way up to management. They said the work ethic of the older generations is well known and undoubtedly a pleasant change from the teenagers and 20-somethingers that essentially cannot hold down a job. They said the 18 to 30-year-old crowd currently in the United States is seriously lagging behind. They go on to say that they've never seen anything like it, where individuals in this age group will quit and walk off the job without any significant problem and without any significant update or any significant notice. That these kids will basically come into work, and as soon as something happens, as soon as there's a disagreement, as soon as there's a conflict, instead of finding a resolution, they just leave. They just walk off. Just walk off the job. I'm mad. You can't talk to me like that. You're the manager. I'm the burger flipper. You can't talk to me that way. You can't tell me to do something else. I'm done. I'm done. I quit. This is apparently happening all the time now. McDonald's has finally had enough of it, so they're looking for 50 and up this summer to fulfill a massive amount of positions. What's crazy about this is the estimates from the Bureau of Labor Statistics suggest that within four years from now, adults age 55 and older will make up 25% of the entire nation's labor force. Now, that's pretty horrible to say about my generation right now. I'll be honest with you guys. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that we have a very educated generation, by the way. I mean, a lot of us have college degrees. A lot of us have AA degrees. A lot of us are very educated. But nobody's working. Nobody holds down a job. Nobody wants to work. And then this goes back to a lot of it is the political correct generation that this generation has been raised in. And the fact where it doesn't matter if there's a disagreement. It doesn't matter if there's a conflict. I'm mad. I'm going to my safe space. I'm going to go play with Play-Doh. I'm running. I'm gone. I want to see my dog. I can't handle this conflict anymore. There's too much conflict. I'm gone. I'm quitting. And all of a sudden everybody goes, you were the GM of the entire store. We're 8:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning at McDonald's. You can't quit. I'm quitting. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. You've offended me. I'm gone. And they walk out. And all of a sudden, the GM just walked out of the entire store at 8:30 on Saturday morning. Now, I've worked in a restaurant. I worked in a restaurant for years when I was in college. That's debilitating to a restaurant to lose a GM at peak hours on a Saturday morning. Been there, done that, watched it happen with stuff before. It's not cool at all. McDonald's had enough of it. So they want individuals that actually need to make money and actually have some type of work ethic. So they're looking for 50 and up to fill those positions. To tie that into it now, we see that Amazon and Walmart is trying to cash in on the food stamp racket. Now what they're allowing them to do, Amazon and Walmart will be starting a pilot program in New York for food stamp recipients to shop for food online and have it delivered to their house. I kid you not. This two-year program, they're saying, that is going to be involved with the Supplement Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. That's basically the free food that we give everybody. We'll be able to order their groceries online. The New York City area will be covered by Amazon and ShopRite, while the upstate area will be covered by Walmart. The program is expected to eventually expand through the state and reach other states, including New Jersey, Maryland, Alabama, Iowa, Nebraska, Washington, and Oregon. See if we can add a few of them while we're at it. Right now, almost 82% of all purchases made with food stamps are made at supermarkets and superstores. Now, the issue with this is SNAP participants consume very few vegetables, fruits, or whole grains, and primarily rely on sugar, even more than low-income people not enrolled in the program, studies show. Now, what's going to be interesting about this now is, you guys already know, soda companies in particular stand to benefit, as soft drinks are the number one purchase made by SNAP households. That is still current in 2019, that was current in 2018, and current in 2017. The number one product, the top seller, the money maker, with EBTs, with the food handout give the United States population, 48 million people on food stamps, is soda. 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 One of the most toxic compounds on the shelf today, especially when you have the diet versions, with the phosphoric acid that rots your teeth, that draws calcium out of your bones, and that poisons your brain. If you don't get the aspartame in it, you get the high fructose corn syrup, which gives you non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and a host of other ailments. So soda, the number one food bought by SNAP recipients. It's prompted experts like New York University nutritionists to say SNAP is a multi-million dollar taxpayer subsidy of the soda industry. It's also really good news for the banks, who are already profiting from every food stamp transaction. Electronic benefit transfer EBTs are used to deliver the benefits, and just like the debit cards they resemble, they earn banks a nice amount of revenue. Banks are contracted by state, federal, and municipality agencies to provide the cards and services, and they charge the fees and any penalties for the stores that use them. The idea of using SNAP benefits on grocery delivery is really just another way to promote processed foods to help the corrupt banks to earn money on every transaction the program's recipients make. All at the expense of the taxpayer, I might add. Also, we are also making it easier and easier to be dependent on the government for everyday needs. And this is what I tied back into with this. When people reach a point where they don't even have to leave their house to get food, and food is just delivered to them based on their EBT amount card that they have on it, we've reached a point in society where we're not only incredibly pathetic and lazy, we are completely dependent on the U.S. government. Not to mention, this is going to increase the rate of obesity in the United States. As you guys have seen, I'm sure a lot of people have, the documentaries they've done on people that are 500, 600, 700 pounds. They sit in bed all day and eat food and pizza and Twinkies and ding-dongs and soda and play video games, and they're enabled because a lot of times their family or parents are buying all the food for them. Well, this just took that whole equation out of it, and now these individuals that are obese, that are on disability, by the way, because that's what you get on disability when you're obese. When you're obese, you can get on disability. You can get like $1,500 a month and free food and free housing, because you're disabled, classified, because you're 600 pounds and you can't stop eating. Now, they will enable them even further, that they don't even need their parents or somebody to enable them. They can simply go online, order all the junk food they want, have it delivered right to their house, and it's deducted right off their EBT card online. They don't even have to move a finger. The only thing they have to do is get up out of bed and answer the front door. This is pathetic that we have reached this point in society now where we have not only enabled individuals to stay completely dependent on the government, we have subsidized it, and we are promoting it with Amazon and Walmart through taxpayer dollars courtesy of the United States government. So I just thought that was interesting to read today, Dan.
You know, Austin, they don't even have to answer the door. The doorbell can ring and their mommy will get the stuff and bring it in for them, because most of these people are basically not working and they're playing video games all day. People don't realize how addictive video games are. I mean, I remember you started playing them, gosh, back in the 90s, I guess, you know, just something like a PlayStation or something simple. And I remember you got really hooked on. Yeah, that's right. And you started getting hooked on. So I had to put a time limit on you. And then Harrison did the same thing. He started playing. He started getting hooked on. I had to put a time limit on him. Finally, I just got rid of it. I just unplugged it. I said, I'm done. We're out. I said, you guys aren't going to waste a bunch of time. You'd be studying or reading or doing something with your life besides seeing how many people you can kill on Nintendo 64 at a war game. So it's just, people need to realize that this stuff is very, very addictive because of the dopamine triggers that it does over and over and over again with these kids. And so it creates a horrible problem with obesity, with apathy, lack of focus, lack of direction. I've got a friend of mine right now. In fact, he used to be my workout partner, and he raised his grandson who lived on video games his whole life. And I asked him the other day, I said, is your grandson in college? No, no. Is he going to go to college? No, no. He's 22. He's not going to college. Well, what does he do? Well, he doesn't do much. He works at the video store. He plays video games all day. And I said, he's 22 years old and he plays video games all day? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, whoa. Guys, think about that for a second. Here's the problem. My buddy, who's a pastor, this isn't the only child that's like this. You know, we've got millions of kids who are basically aged up to 35 now, who started smoking dope when they were 12, who are 12 years old in the brain. I've got a good friend of mine, kept sending me all the stuff on cannabis, you know, wanting to try to convince me that cannabis is good as a recreational drug. It's not, people, folks, friends, listen to me. It's not. I mean, if you want to smoke dope and you're 30 years old or 35 years old, you got terrible pain and you're taking, you know, a derivative or whatever, I don't care. But when you give it to a developing brain in a teenager and you have her parents have it in their home and they're smoking it because it's legal for them and they get a hold of it, it stops brain development. It gives you more 35-year-old, 12-year-olds. You know, that's what it does. So there's no literature that anybody can send me that's going to convince me that taking a drug like cannabis and making it legal for everybody and having access for everybody is going to be okay, because all it's going to do is fuel the drug industrial complex that is owned by the Sabbatean Kabbalist Rothschild people. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. You try to grow hemp in the state of Florida right now, just hemp. I'm not talking about marijuana. I'm talking hemp. Can't do it. You have to have permits. I mean, and they hadn't been placed for years on end. And then you find out one of the top attorneys in our state, who's complete and total lowlife, filthy, filthy language, man. He basically bought up a bunch of different things years and years and years ago, got it all approved through the government to raise hemp before they ever got it approved to do right, raise hemp. He pretty much owns it all. And the guy's, you know, has, you know, he's a huge attorney firm. And he was the one who was so vocal in our state getting, you know, the marijuana passed for medicinal purposes. Again, I don't have a problem. If someone's dying of cancer or whatever, and they're using marijuana for medicinal purposes to stop the pain or back pain or whatever, it's still better than opiates, but not for children. It's not a recreational product. It's like going out and getting drunk all the time. It's not a recreational uses product. I don't like any of this stuff. In fact, to me, alcohol is going to be doing more damage than pot is to an adult because of liver damage. So don't try to convince me these types of things are good. By the way, there's a person who online, his name is Dr. Batar, and he basically was accused of being, of being a criminal for encouraging people to be aware about vaccine safety. I want to read you his response. He goes, "I was recently told that it was criminal for me to encourage people to be informed about vaccine safety. Normally, I would not reply to anyone who's so uneducated on the topic, but today, I felt compelled to respond. Criminal? Criminal is basking in ignorance and jumping off the cliff with the rest of the lemmings while an estimated 43 million autistic children worldwide continue to suffer from the greatest iatrogenic doctor-induced catastrophe in human history. My clinic has treated over 3,100 cases of autism over the last 20 years plus from 89 different countries. I've testified before U.S. Congress regarding the damage from the various constituents of the vaccines, and I have served in the U.S. military and fought for our country to ensure the freedom of people, even like you, to be able to express an opinion, no matter how ignorant, uninformed, and scientifically invalidated as that opinion may be, regarding the issue of vaccinations. It is clear that you have not even the slightest clue. Anyone contesting the voluminous data, by the way, I have over 500 clinical reference studies that show that autism is caused by immunizations and glyphosate, is trying to promote the concept of vaccination in its current form is either an uneducated imbecile or lacks integrity and has an agenda that is suspect at the very least. And voicing the truth, if voicing the truth is criminal, and advancing science despite the rhetoric or political bias is criminal, then label me however you wish, as long as you label me different. Different from the murderers that inject the second most toxic substance known to man per the EPA into fragile newborn babies. Different from the idiots who refuse to admit that neonate babies do not even have a functional immune system until at least the age of 6, sometimes up to 12 months. So a vaccine is utterly useless in the first 6 months of life until the baby's immune system is able to seroconvert. Different from the liars who, under the pretense of protecting a baby, expose the very baby to a vaccine containing countless toxic substances such as mercury, formaldehyde, mutated human DNA, fetal DNA, and various tissue components from other species. Different from the doctors who inject vaccine into babies, and who would have done more for mankind had they never existed. As long as you distinguish me from those doctors, I'm fine with whatever you label me. As I've already said, I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm just anti-stupidity. You know what, guys? I cannot think of a more clear letter that I've ever read about this. I mean, it's right to the point and very succinct. As what a doctor says, who basically says, I've had enough of this stuff, we're not going to allow this to happen anymore, and we're going to make people realize that we're not going to give up on trying to help all these millions and millions and tens of millions of children around the world now that have autism due to vaccines and glyphosate toxicity. By the way, another massive data breach exposes data from another 80 million U.S. households through American Express again, and security experts say the hackers could have also access to your age, your name, location, and information. It seems like this stuff never, ever, ever stops. Guys, the database hosted on a Microsoft cloud server includes sensitive information like names, addresses, locations, gender, age, income, home type, and marital status, among other data. Credit card and social security numbers were not listed in the database. Researchers Ran Lakar and Norn Rotim said it's unclear who owns the 24 gigabyte database. Guys, you got to be careful when you do stuff online. I don't bank online. I don't do any of that stuff online. I know people whose bank accounts have been hacked, including my own mother-in-law, online. And you really need to avoid all of this stuff as much as you possibly can. I know it's difficult, and I know it's very convenient to do that, but you need to avoid it. By the way, another mass sterilization has been found. Kenyan doctors find anti-fertility agents in the U.S. tetanus vaccine. Did you hear what I just said? According to LifeSite News, a Catholic publication, the Kenyan Doctors Association is charging UNICEF and WHO, the World Health Organization, with sterilizing millions of girls and women under the cover of an anti-tetanus vaccination program sponsored by the Kenyan government. The Kenyan government denies there's anything wrong with the vaccine and says it was perfectly safe. However, the Kenyan Doctors Association saw evidence to the contrary and had six different samples of tetanus vaccines from various locations around Kenya sent to an independent laboratory to South Africa for testing. The HCG antigen is used in anti-fertility vaccines, but it was found present in the tetanus vaccines to target young girls and women of childbearing age in Kenya. Wow. This proved right our worst fears that the WHO campaign is not about eradicating neonatal tetanus, but a well-coordinated, forceful population control mass sterilization exercise using proven fertility-regulating vaccines. The evidence was presented to the Ministry of Health before the third round of immunization, but was completely and totally ignored. The immunizations continued. Guys, listen to me. I told you the other day that the Ebola vaccine and the AIDS vaccine was specifically targeting Africa to reduce the population of Africa. They made a mistake. When they gave them the AIDS vaccine, they ended up still reproducing and having babies before they died of AIDS, leaving all these homeless children with the population of Kenya in some areas 100% infected with AIDS. So now they found a way here in Kenya to immunize the girls with tetanus that's going to completely and totally sterilize them for the rest of their lives. These guys are something now. And the thing that bothers me more than anything else, if they told the parents, you know, we're going to give you this, it'll keep you from having kids, and the parents agreed to it, which some of them would because they realize there's a population problem over there. I got that, okay? I'm okay with that. I don't like it, but I'm okay with it. But realize, guys, that this is not the agenda. The agenda is basically this. They want to sterilize as many people as they possibly can and reduce the population of the planet to 500 million. And when I see things like this swine flu now, which can mutate and go into humans, happened already once, 50 million dead, when I see almost 200 million pigs dead globally with pork prices going through the roof. Not only pork, so I don't care about all that, but this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy that we have this type of virus being given to pigs somehow. Who knows how it got mutated? Who knows? Could be our boys at Fort Detrick again over in the Kenemuth Laboratory over in Sierra Leone. Don't know. Not making any claims here, but I'm saying this, guys. Be very careful. I'm going to say it like I've said it to you so many times. It won't be through nuclear annihilation. They're not going to destroy their own 5G networks. That's not how they're going to reduce the population of the planet. It's going to be through these anti-fertility things that they're doing with the GMOs, with the vaccines, with glyphosate, with the HPV vaccine, and also with some type of pandemic that they're going to release, that they're going to have beta tested. And they're already going to know before they do it what the real kill rates are, and they're already going to be immunized with clean vaccines to prevent them or their families from coming down with this stuff. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. You know, sometimes I kind of wish I could just do a show and just preach for an hour and give you the good news, which someday I may just do that. Just give Austin a day off and me just do a sermon and just really give you a really good, uplifting, upbeat sermon. Guys, here's the thing. God loves you. He loves you so much. He sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, his only begotten son. He loves this planet so much, but he's had enough of the filth. It's like a parent. You know, I remember years ago I had a daughter, a younger daughter. She had a real bad attitude. She's like, you know, 15 years old. And I told her, I said, you can have a bad attitude. It's okay. But I'm going to send you to a Christian school out in Montana on a 1,000-acre cattle ranch where you can have a bad attitude out there because you're not going to have it here. You know, God is a just God. He's a good parent, and he loves those, and he basically rewards those who diligently seek him. But it says if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. What does that mean? That means you want to do it, and you're obedient to do it, and God rewards you. These people that run this planet, this is a Satan group. God doesn't like them, and I don't either. And so these people think they can do whatever they want to do and get away with any of it. That's why we have to keep our hearts and our minds and our focus on our Father in heaven and in Jesus Christ our Lord. We've got to maintain that relationship with God above all things, everything else. Why? Because that is what we count and base our eternity on. We're here for but a few short years. You know, to me, it seems like it was yesterday. I was in college and graduate school at Florida State University, getting saved in 1979. And here we are 40-some-odd years later, and I'm 63 years old, thinking, wow, I'm so glad I spent my life living for God. I'm so glad I lived it right. I'm so glad that I lived it bringing honor and glory to God, because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it's the sole duty of man to obey God and do his commandments. And basically, we need to be aware of that. The most important thing we can do as Christians is to love one another and support one another. Guys, I love you. I have the opportunity to pray for you again today. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. Austin, finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Also, too, in other news, and this is interesting because you see there's so many different aspects of what's going on with your privacy. You need to make sure you're keeping your apps turned off on your phone, and don't be downloading apps that you don't need. There's a lot of times I've downloaded an app that I wasn't really happy with, or I didn't really approve of it, or I didn't really like it, and I would uninstall it immediately. They're saying now the new study published in JAMA Network Open exposed the data sharing practices of popular health apps now, including those for mental health. And what they do is they go in to the app stores found using keywords like depression or smoking cessation. After downloading the apps, they checked to see if the data they entered was shared. By taking a look at app traffic, they found that 33 out of the 36 health apps they examined were sharing all the information that gave data analytic firms and advertisers insight into their digital behavior. Even worse, some shared information can be considered highly sensitive that they were also sending out about individuals. So when you start downloading this stuff, be very aware and understand that it's going to third-party advertisers and third-party marketers, and just be aware of that and try to stay away from it. We appreciate everything, guys. Thank you so much for the continued support of HealthMasters.com. You guys need anything, be sure to give us a call. We're here to help you guys out the best we can. We've been very, very busy lately. I've gotten backed up on emails, so I'm trying to get ahead of all those right now, especially as we go into the beginning of May already. Last 4 months have already flown by. It's absolutely crazy. But other than that, we're doing the best we can to help everybody out as much as we possibly can. So we appreciate all the support. If you can, be sure to check out all the different specials and sales we have on the website at healthmasters.com right now, including the Hagman Healthy Immune Kit. That's a very popular kit that a lot of people have been using to stay healthy and get rid of a lot of these different viruses and toxins and stuff that people are getting exposed to on a regular basis. So be sure to check those out at healthmasters.com. And sign up for our free weekly newsletter. We'll send you out all kinds of different specials and different stuff that's going on right there. So we appreciate you guys. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.